Awesome. Well, great to be back again, Duncan. Great to see you, Mike. Great to see you. How are you? There we are. There you are. We have too. And great to be with you. And we've had just such a wonderful day. And we've been sharing a seminar on building a strong spirit. How to build a strong spirit. The Bible says in Daniel chapter 11, verse 32, it says concerning the end times, it said, those who know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And so we're living in a day when you need to develop strength spiritually. And sadly, the church across the nation is so very, very weak. And God wants to revive us and strengthen us. And so in the seminar, for those who just weren't there, I want to just briefly touch on what we covered. And then I'm going to condense a whole lot of messages together and just focus on one thing tonight. But we shared about how God has designed us to operate with the spirit. We're able to maintain connection with the spirit realm. You live in the spirit realm all the time. You don't have to try and get there. Your spirit occupies and lives and can move and sense things in the spirit realm. And we also, because of a physical body, live in the physical realm. We are absolutely unique in being able to bring God into the earth. That's how God has designed us. And we saw the importance of developing a strength in your spirit. And we saw how John the Baptist grew and became strong in spirit. So you're not born strong in spirit. You can become strong in spirit. Jesus grew and became strong in spirit. And Paul's prayer was that you would be strengthened with dunamis, supernatural strength that only God can give in your inner man. And we looked at the benefits and blessings, why it is important, and how our life and our ministry is enriched as we develop internal strength. And the question then, well, how do you strengthen your spirit man? What can you do that will intentionally build strength into your spirit? And we saw that there's a number of things. And we shared the first one of those was praying in tongues. Whoever prays in an unknown tongue builds up himself or adds strength and dimensions and capacity into them. And we shared various aspects of speaking in tongues and how to activate and grow and become strong in that area. The second area I shared about developing strength, strength comes through our relationship with God, an infusion, impartation. So we looked at how to engage God in worship. Many people sing songs, but don't actually engage and find themselves strengthened within by an encounter with the presence of God. Every encounter we have adds strength and dimensions of largeness into our spirit. And then we looked also at how to the practicals of doing that, how to overcome the obstacles to engaging God. And then the next session we looked at was those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And so we looked at, well, how do you wait upon God? What is involved in that? And I shared with you that waiting on God was not a passive thing, waiting for God to turn up and do something, but rather it is an intertwining of our life, a twisting together of our life so we become one with Him. And we shared with you how to do that. And so these are keys. If you just took one key, worked on one key, you would find a shift in your walk with God and in your spiritual strength and capacity. And one of the things that we saw about developing a strong spirit is you become resilient and able to bounce back when there's difficulties and pressures and so on. And so those were the things we shared. So tonight, I want to just quickly touch on a couple of other areas, and then we're going to go to one I want to cover on tonight, which is a little different to all these others. So I said there were a number of keys to being developing in the Spirit or being strengthened in the Spirit, and so I want to look at this one here, first of all, and one of them is just by the habit of listening to God and obeying Him. Obedience brings strength in us. Look what it says here in Deuteronomy 11, verse 8. You will keep every commandment which I command you, that you may be strong to go in and possess the land. That word strong means having power to overcome resistance and receive what God has for you. So obedience, when you obey God, when you do what God says to do, when we align ourselves and obey the Lord, we strengthen our spirit. Your spirit becomes strengthened by engaging with the Spirit of God, by the Word of God, and then it also becomes strengthened by the whole process of obedience, where we actually do what God says. We shared also that meditation in the Word of God was another way of strengthening our spirit, and we shared with you how to go about doing that, and God turned up just big time. So obedience is really important. Jesus obeyed the voice of the Holy Spirit, became strong in spirit. There's another way that we become strong in spirit, and that is we face adversity joyfully and courageously. Adversity is a part of your Christian walk because God wants to grow you. Look at this. It says in Proverbs, it says in 24:10, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. So when pressure comes on you, challenges come on you, difficulties come on you, if you fall over, lie down, quit, give up, you don't have much strength. So adversity is allowed and sometimes set up by God in order for you to develop strength inside. We saw if you go to the gym, you work against weights to develop strength in your muscles, develop strength in your spirit. We need the odd challenge or two where circumstances are not good and we learn how to stand up and face those things courageously. Yeah, I didn't want to hear that. I can see that one. There's not much joy over that one, isn't there? In James 1, verse 2 through to 5, it says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or trials or tests. He said, because the trying of your faith works endurance in you, works the patience or the ability to stand strong joyfully in the midst of difficulties. And then it makes you mature. So you can pray, well, God, I want to come up in the altar call and get patience. Lay hands on me and give me patience. Well, it doesn't work that way. You cry out to grow in patience, which means literally to endure hardship with a great attitude, not whining or complaining. See? And so it says, so count it all joy. In other words, consider it a positive thing when you face difficulties because of what you know, that the testing of your faith and confidence in God will bring about the development of strength inside your body, inside your spirit. Again, see, people are not so happy when you hear about these things. Huh? They all want to hear just a prophetic word, you know, but this is very prophetic. You want to grow strong? Then learn how to handle difficulties. And the strength that you develop in your spirit means you are able to cope with greater things. So God wants to grow your capacity, grow your character. You have to experience things for that to happen. You don't get it all through Bible study and through prayer meetings and laying on hands. You get it through doing life and standing up when everything is against you. Amen? When all is against you and you stand and hold on to God and trust Him, you develop strength in your inner man and you become a different kind of person, the other side of adversity. So, there's another one. How about that? Facing your challenges courageously. Here's another one, and that is resisting the devil. Resist the devil. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, it tells us, now your adversary, you have an adversary. Not the devil himself, but just small minions of demons that are interested in making life difficult for you. You have an adversary, an opponent in a law court, and it says who walks around, or literally means to encircle you or keep prowling around you, observing your life like a roaring lion. And that he's not a roaring lion, he just is like that to intimidate you, planning how he may bring you down, who resist steadfast in faith. So God wants us to learn how to stand up and fight. In the book of Joshua, they left the enemies in the land, so the children of Israel had never learned how to fight, could learn how to fight. Think about this. Jesus could have cast all the demons into hell after he rose from the dead, but he left them for you and me. so you can learn to become a fighter. So don't get all funny and weird about demons in the demonic realm. They're there for you to get into scraps and learn how to fight. Learn how to stand up and push back. Bible says submit to God, yield and bring your life into alignment, and then resist the devil, he'll run away from you. James 4:7. So demonic resistance, opposition, and difficulties is normal part of Christian life. And the more you engage in the work of the Lord, the more you have it. You think, oh, I don't think I want to do that. I just want to have a holiday. No, even on your holiday, some things will happen there too. It's just like God wants to grow you. He's got you in a plan. The Holy Spirit has got a plan to grow you. So don't drop out, whinge out, cry excess tears. Learn how to stand up in the midst of the battle and fight. Get into the Word, get into prayer, and learn to stand up and assert your authority and push demons back. Resist temptation. Don't fall over and roll over. Resist things that come to oppress you. Stand up and get your voice and get to fight. That's what God wants us to do. So those are all ways that you become strong in spirit. You get into the fight and you come out the other side and you weren't too happy about what happened, but you are stronger and more experienced now. There's no shortcut to that. And we can't just pretend like there's no spirit realm, no battle, no difficulties. There are. So you choose not just about coming into worshiping God and praying in the Spirit and meditating in the Word and waiting on God. You also choose how you're going to approach the things that happen in life, whether you'll stand up and courageously face them, believing God is with you, whether you'll stand up and push back against temptation and the devil, or whether you roll over and turn up in an altar call and ask someone to help you. Now, it's fine to get prayer in an altar call, but that's if you're still doing that and you've been a Christian for years, you haven't developed strength. The Bible's very clear. If you faint in the day of adversity, you don't have much strength. So these things you've got to realize, God permits so you can become a fighter. A warrior spirit develop in you, you become strong. Strong in the Lord and the ability and power He gives you. How about that? Yep. Well, you don't hear much of that taught these days, you know. But you need it. We need it. That's meat for us. It helps us. Okay, now I just summarized all of that because this is where I want to go tonight. I want to go to look at something else which is a little bit different. All of those things were things you did to grow strong in the Lord. They were things you actually put into your life. But I want to look at something else. Why don't you have a look with me in Psalm 84. Psalm 84. And one of the things we saw when we looked at how we're designed to function is you can't just pull apart body, soul, and spirit like they're three different things. They all occupy the same space, and every part is connected to the other part. So a problem in your body affects your soul and your spirit. Problem in your soul affects your body and your spirit. Problem in your spirit affects your soul and your body. Everything is interconnected. Okay. So the thing I want to look at today as a way of developing strength in you is to look at processing brokenness in your life. Because when there's areas of your life that are broken, areas of your life that are injured and damaged, areas of your soul where you experience damage, if you don't process it, if you don't address it and bring wholeness into that area, you will leak strength all the time. You will be vulnerable all the time in the places where you've been damaged, whether it be through trauma or abuse or disappointments or betrayals or whatever's happened in your life. If you don't process it and deal with it, then one, you will lack spiritual authority in that area. Two, you'll be vulnerable to demonic attack in that area. And three, you will lose strength constantly because of it. You will lack experiencing God in that area. So this is kind of like another aspect of how we can become strong in spirit. It's we deal with the leakage caused by hurts and wounds and brokenness. Does that make sense to you? Okay, and I'll show you scripture that seems to indicate that this is exactly the case. And here it is in Psalm 84, verse 5 through to verse 7. And blessed is the man whose strength is in God, or his strength is in the Lord. How blessed is the man who draws strength from God. See? And it goes on and adds more to it, whose strength is in the Lord. Then it goes on, whose heart is set on pilgrimage, or who sets his heart to embrace God's process of growing. Pilgrimage is just a journey. You're going from somewhere to somewhere, and we're going on a journey to become mature and Christ-like. So blessed is the man whose strength is found in God, whose heart embraces the process God uses to grow you. Now, a lot of people complain about the process, but God wants you to embrace that there's a process of growing strong and resolving stuff. Who passing through the valley of Baca, the word Baca means weeping. Who passes through the valley of weeping. So weeping, grief, loss, distress is described as being like being in a valley, a low place. See? I'll come back into this and show you each part of it in a moment. And then it says that man will go from strength to strength. That word strength is the ability to prevail and overcome. So it tells us very clearly that if we are willing to embrace the process of transformation, God's process of healing us, if you will welcome it and not fight it, if you'll cooperate with God in it and do it God's way, then whatever's happened to you will become a well that blesses others. And that means God is flowing out from you to minister to others through what you've walked through. And you will go from strength to strength having encounters with God. That's an amazing problem. Now, we want to go from strength to strength. It's God's plan. You grow stronger, not grow weaker through life. And I found that many people become weakened by adversity rather than growing through it and becoming stronger. And so we want to learn what to do. Okay? So that's that scripture there. So that's where we're going to go. We're going to look at that. And I've just put a few thoughts together just related to that. So the first is that, notice there, it talks about a valley. Let's just focus on the valley part. The valleys in the Bible were places where there were battles, where there was warfare, where there was conflict, where there are difficulties. That's a valley. Preferably, I like the mountaintops. Mountaintops are much better. It's where you have great encounters with God. But valleys are different places. So when the Bible's talking about a valley here, it's talking about a season in your life where there is difficulty, conflict, and hardship, and some kind of challenge you're facing. How many know what that is? How many got valleys, yeah? Okay, now if you go through the Bible, you will find there are many different kind of valleys. And the Bible abounds in stories of how God helped the people overcome in the valley. And let me just, now you will probably know some of them. There's a valley called the Valley of Achor or the Valley of Trouble. How many have been in a valley of trouble? You've got a lot of trouble pressing in on you. That's a valley situation. And we need to learn how to deal with troubles. God pointed out what was the source of the trouble. And when they resolved it, they came into blessing. They got out of the valley, came into a place where not just one, but everyone had been blessed. There's other valleys too. There's a valley called the Valley of Dry Bones. And if you read the encounter, the account there, the Valley of Dry Bones, it says our hope is lost and we're all cut off from one another. So the Valley of Dry Bones represents a season in your life where you're disconnected relationally, where there's loneliness in your life, and you're dried up in your walk with God. It feels like God isn't there, and I'm on my own in this situation. The Valley of Dry Bones. How many know that valley? How many been in that? We've all been in that valley at some point. Dry bones. And notice it says they were many bones and very dry. That's the state of a lot of people needing the prophetic word of God to bring life into us again. See? So there are lots of valleys. There's another valley called the Valley of Rephaim. The Valley of Rephaim, was the word means literally giant. So the Valley of Rephaim is the valley where there's a terrible conflict, and David could have lost his life there, but it was a valley of giants. So a giant is just a very big problem, makes you look very small, and you're intimidated. How many have been in a valley of Rephaim where you faced a giant, a big thing in your life? Exactly. Some of you may be there now. So there's the valley of giants where we face something that is overwhelming and it feels like we're totally intimidated, want to run away from it. But God wants you to overcome the giant and come out the other side a giant slayer. So there's lots of valleys. You can probably think about it. There's the valley called the shadow of death, the valley of the shadow of death, where we might lose everything, including our life. And it's a place of fear. When we're afraid, we tend to try and control everything around us. We can have experiences in our life which are very fearful, where things are uncertain. We don't know what's going to happen. It looks like our world is falling apart. It's the valley of the shadow of death. It could be even a situation where someone near to you, you've lost, and their death has cast a shadow where there's no light. The valley, those kind of valleys were very dangerous places. And so that's why he said, I will not fear because you are with me. So you can do your own study. I'm just giving you some names of valleys. There's another valley called the Valley of Hinnom. And the Valley of Hinnom was a place where they sacrificed children to false gods, Baal and Ashtoreth and so on. So the Valley of Hinnom was a place, it was eventually turned into a rubbish dump, but it was a place of terrible grief and perversion and loss and so on. It's a place where babies' children were murdered. You could speak of having gone through an abortion, through some kind of terrible situation of loss. The Valley of Hinnom. So every valley in the Bible which is there speaks of different things that we can experience, and God wants us to come out of it. I think I've covered a few. I just was just writing down a few. Oh, there's another valley too, the Valley of Sorek. Valley of Sorek. Now, the Valley of Sorek, the Valley of the Vineyard, where Samson met Delilah and was seduced and lost his destiny. So the Valley of Sorek is the place where you are tempted by very attractive things to lose focus on God's call in your life. And everyone faces that at some point. It doesn't matter what your Delilah is, its design is to draw you away from what God called you to do. So there are many valleys. So notice now, many, many valleys in the Bible. And God brings us into valley situations to develop strength in our life, not to hurt you, not to defeat you. He allows them to take place. And when you're in the valley, he is watching you and with you, and he's there to help you. So now we're looking at this valley called the Valley of Tears. So we are facing an experience which our heart is broken. And there could be many experiences you've had. It could be a traumatic experience. It could be the grief of loss. It could be the grief of betrayal. It could be the grief of disappointment about how things have not worked out like you thought. There are many things that cause us to be in that valley. And most people try to bury the pain and the sorrow and the grief rather than following what is laid out there in Psalm 84. Blessed is the man whose strength is in the Lord. Now, when you are facing painful situations, you can become stuck in them. And when you get stuck in them, eventually it will sabotage your life and ministry. It'll inevitably do it, because remember, what's in your heart will flow out into your life. So if you've got things that are broken, damaged, you've got wounds and things you've never addressed, then you attract from the spirit realm defilement, and then it flows out into the relationships around you and affects them. That's why God wants to heal you, wants to heal your broken heart. So people get stuck in a valley. How do you get stuck in a valley of weeping? Well, one is you refuse to face it. You just refuse to admit how deeply impacted you've been by what happened to you. It's very easy to do that. I remember during this period of COVID, towards the end of it, I remember feeling I wanted something not right. And so I started to say, Lord, something's not right. I don't feel really like I was in the same space before. And he said, you have disappointments that you've not resolved. I thought, disappointments, that's interesting. So I sat down and made a list, and I thought, let me write down everything that's really disappointed me in the last 3 years. And as I began to write the many things that we had lost or suffered or things we'd planned that we couldn't do and various disappointments that had happened in relationships, there was quite a number I found. Oh, quite a few. And then as soon as I'd written them all down and looked at them, I need to actually let go of the grief over this and bring it to the Lord and surrender it to Him. And the Lord started to talk to me. He said, disappointments accumulate if you don't resolve them. I said, wow. He said, you have accumulated disappointment. And then he said, second thing he said to me was this. He said, disappointments cause you to close up your heart and not take risks to trust anymore. Whoa. You draw back and play it safe. The third thing he said was, disappointments cause you to draw back from deep intimacy with me. How about that? So by now, I'm really listening hard. Whoa. And I actually wasn't that conscious of the disappointments until the Lord revealed them. And then he showed me the reason you are where you are is because you didn't acknowledge you actually were disappointed and resolve it one by one. And he said, not only that, the devil will use your disappointments to steer you away to distractions and false comforts so you're steered out of your call and purpose. So disappointments ultimately will take you out of the call of God. Well, by then, I'm really weeping and, you know, repenting and bringing it to the Lord and whatever. I wanted to just deal with it. So one of the reasons people stuck in the valley is they're just not acknowledging how deeply hurt they've been. And God uses situations to trigger it, so you find suddenly you cry and you don't know why you're crying until you slow down and listen to your heart and ask God to show you. Another reason people are caught in a valley is because of unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is far more common in the church than we realize. Unforgiveness is a debt, and it keeps you connected and attached to the pain and the hurt that you've gone through, the mistreatment of someone. And Jesus said, don't just forgive, forgive from the heart. Acknowledge the pain and grieve over the pain and let go the debt. This is for you to move forward. Another reason people get stuck in a valley is because they make judgments, and that judgment then causes a reaping in their life. We've got to watch about judgments about ourselves, about God, about people, about authorities, about this or that, because they keep us trapped in a valley and our strength is sapped out. It takes much more strength to move forward. Well, there's many reasons we can make vows and try to control our heart and emotions. And many people, because of fear, try to control life and relationships. And so they remain stuck in the valley. I see this all the time. And what I've noticed in the last 2 or 3 years is that I've seen many pastors come and they're in their 50s and they've buried stuff for years and years and years, and now they just can't hold it in anymore. They just haven't got the strength to hold in what they've accumulated through growing up and through relationship disappointments and through church and various things. So we can get stuck in the valley. Now notice then what the Bible tells us here. It gives us just a simple process for coming out of it. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you. So notice the first thing is I must turn into the Lord to draw and find strength to prevail in the situation. The opposite to that is you just try and control and bury all your feelings and medicate your feelings and try to just manage it, get busy, whatever you're going to do, to try and avoid the situation. Avoiding things is a form of controlling. God wants you not to do that, but to draw and get strength to overcome your situation. So one thing to live with it, another thing to overcome it. Blessed is the man whose strength or ability to prevail is found by intentionally turning into God and acknowledging the problem. Make sense? Whose heart embraces that God has a process. So what does it mean to embrace the process? The process of dealing with the issues of heart is very simply one, we acknowledge they're there. That's the hardest thing to do, is to admit and recognize I've got a problem and it's not going away and it's producing bad fruit in my life. Secondly, I need to take responsibility to deal with the problem. You can get people praying for you and it can help, but often it only relieves you rather than actually deals with the issue. It's your issue. Even if someone has hurt you, it's still your hurt, your responsibility to do what's needed. Thirdly, we need to literally grieve and allow the emotions connected with the sorrow to come up. And you do that in the presence of the Lord. I found music can help. I found just spending time with Him, sometimes journaling and writing out what has happened and how I'm feeling and it's affected me, will allow things to surface. So that's part of the process, is actually, it's all right to grieve. If you don't grieve, you probably won't heal. And sometimes people try to forgive and move on, but actually they're just trying to control it. They're not admitting, I am more deeply hurt than I ever realized. Interesting, if you look at Terah, who was Abraham's father-in-law, he joined with them in the journey. Now, Terah had an issue in his heart. He'd had a son die called Haran, and he died in the father's arms. And so Terah journeyed with Abraham on the journey to the promised land, but he came to a place, and get what the name of the place was? Haran. And it reminded him of the pain and grief, and the Bible says he settled there and he died there and never moved forward into the purpose that God had for Abraham. So in other words, if you won't acknowledge grief and process it by allowing it to come forth and giving it to God to heal, because Jesus took our griefs and sorrows, if you won't do that, then you will be triggered in your grief over and over. You're most likely not move forward in God, because the grief leads to anger and control, all kinds of things. That guy's a lesson. Deal with your grief. You look at Absalom, who was grieving over the treatment that his stepbrother gave his sister, and he never processed the grief, become offended, and in the end ended up dying prematurely and leading lots of others astray in his rebellion. You understand? It's important to deal with the issues of the heart. God is a heart God. Okay? So then there's a need, if necessary, to forgive people and repent of how we've actually participated in all of this. It's quite a simple process, but it is a process. And it's emotional and painful, and it costs you to give. It costs you to let go control. It costs you to repent. All of those things is a part of the process of finding strength in God instead of in your flesh and your own ability. And notice it said, blessed is the man whose strength and ability to overcome is found by leaning into God, who embraces God's process and then passes through the valley. They don't stay there. They're not stuck there. And not only that, by embracing God's process, now you have a testimony. That's what is the well. The well is your testimony of how you encountered God and what God did in your life. So your bad experience has become a testimony of God and gives hope to others. You think of someone like Joseph. Joseph had a really hard deal. In fact, all the men in the Bible God used all went through the process of God, because you can't be promoted without the process. You can't be lifted up to greater influence without the process. It's just how it works. So Joseph, remember, Joseph started off with great honor. He's got this prophetic gift on his life. These visions come to him. He's the father's favorite. He gives him a special garment. And the brothers all hated him. And so they said, we're going to kill him. Then they said, no, don't kill him. Let's sell him, make a bit of money. So they sold him off. And he's sold as a slave. He betrayed by his own family. It's horrendous. Into another nation, sold as a slave, serves as best he can, and next thing you know, he's falsely accused of rape, of attempted rape. He's down in a prison, lowest prison, lucky to have his life in the lowest place possibly he could get. But it said the word of the Lord tried him. In other words, in that place, he had to hold on to what God said about his future and let God process him, and then God lifts him up. Now, here's the bit that you can see how he's really walked through it and turned it into a well. The brothers come. Now, the brothers suddenly find out he's Joseph. Guess what? They're terrified. Yeah, he's got the power to kill them. He's got the power to throw them in jail. They're absolutely terrified. And here's what he says. He said, don't be hard on yourselves, Genesis 45 and Genesis 50. But no, it was not you who sent me here. It was God who sent me to prepare me to bring salvation to you all. Now I want you to see what he's saying there. He's saying, listen, I'm well over forgiving. I've moved totally past forgiving. I can see that all of this was God using your bad intentions and bad motives to be a catalyst to prepare me for the role I now have where I can bring help to everyone. In other words, he's got past forgiving. Some people, it's a big deal to forgive. And it can be very difficult too. You don't want to. You want to punch him and slap him or anything, but you don't want to forgive him. That's just what happened. But if you can move past that, then see that actually God is using it to bring you to a place where you can bless others. Because you have a testimony of the goodness and power of God to bring a victory for you. So if you want that victory, you've got to embrace the process. And that means stop pretending, stop hiding, stop concealing, stop leaking everywhere, but rather find strength. Blessed is the man whose strength is in God, whose heart embraces the process, who makes a decision to work with God and walk out of that valley, turning it into a well. That one goes from strength to strength, appearing before God or having encounters with God. So we've talked today about ways you can put strength into your spirit man, but this way tonight that I'm sharing with you involves dealing with the things in your heart and soul that would cause strength to leak out and cause you constantly to be undermined. It is important we deal with the brokenness in our heart and in our life. And that may be a betrayal, maybe a trauma experience, maybe some form where you've been abused and hurt, maybe some major disappointments, setbacks you've had in life, broken relationships. There's no end to it all. Rejection by people that you thought they cared about you and then they turned on you. There's many, many different forms this takes. And in the journey to fulfill your call, God will allow you to go through some of those valleys. And some of you tonight are in one of those valleys. And God wants you to make a decision. Don't bury it. Don't hide it. Don't put it off. Don't kind of control your life and relationships. But blessed is the man whose strength is in the Lord. Turn to the Lord tonight and allow him to come into that place and set you free. Demons are in that place. Grief is in that place. Sin is in that place. Pain is in that place. It's robbing you of strength. Make a decision tonight. I'm going to let God into that place. I want to get the musicians up again, and why don't we just stand to our feet now, and we're going to have an opportunity now for people to experience God, to actually open up that part of their life for God to touch them and bring healing to them. Maybe that's you, and as I've spoken tonight, you know that's me. I'm in that valley, and I named a number of valleys because there are lots of them. I've been in all of them, I think. Even one of them. Some I barely escaped. But you make a decision. Come on, let's stand. I want us to begin to worship Jesus. Let's lift up again and let's flow back into worship. And tonight, God wants to touch people. We've got to be out here by 9 because they can't stand the noise of the singing and the worship and people being happy and free. So we've only got till 9 to get people free. So why don't we just, as we just worship, let's flow into a song together right now while we can still have music playing. And as we do that, lift your hands to the Lord. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you, is there something in my heart tonight that you want to deal with and address? We meet Jesus in the valley. He's there for us. David wrote it like this, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear evil, for you are with me. Jesus is here tonight with you to help you. Would you come, if that's you tonight? There's been trauma, there's been betrayal, there's been abandonment, there's been grief, the disappointment. You say, God, tonight, I want to just resolve this issue. Would you come now? Just come. 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 Don't hold back. Let the Holy Spirit have access to that place. Just come. Come tonight. As I was talking about disappointment, I know for some of you there's deep disappointment. The Lord wants to help you. Would you come? Come right to the front. Right to the front. That's right. Just come. Come. Yeah. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. Come on, let's sing it again. Sing it again. Let's give Him the glory and the honor. You're worthy, Lord. Yes, Lord. Basically, we're just standing in agreement with your decision. What will make you strong is not someone doing something to you. What will make you strong is your decision to lean into God and resolve what's in your heart. So before we begin to pray, is there some issue? Put a name on it right now. And talk to the Lord. I like people to prepare their heart before ministry. Preparing your heart means you have a private conversation with the Lord. Jesus, I know this is an issue in my heart. It has been affecting me. And instead of resolving it and leaning into you, I've tried to manage it in my own strength. I've been full of pride and fear. But Lord, tonight I turn to you. My friend, my shepherd, my healer, my deliverer, I surrender control. And tell him what it is. Lord, I was deeply disappointed. As you remember what's happened, the emotions of it will probably start to surface. Jesus loves you deeply. As he touched the leper and healed him, he wants to touch you. Is there someone you need to forgive? Name them. Release them right now. Is there some judgment you've made? Renounce it now. Ask the Holy Spirit to come into the deepest places of your heart and bring healing and deliverance. I see someone here who's lost a child. You've never got over the grief of that loss. Jesus understands and wants to heal you tonight. I see someone here and your father has abandoned the family. You've never gotten over the fear you'll be abandoned. Someone else, and your father was an extremely angry man, and you're quite intimidated and broken and fearful. Someone else, and your mother had a breakdown, unable to handle life, and you had to carry the weight that should have been hers, and that weight is crushing you. God wants you to forgive her and let it go. Just let your heart be in the presence of God. Then we're going to lead you through a prayer together and release the presence of God over your life. And the ministry team are going to come and lay hands and minister into your heart. Lord, you're worthy. You went to the cross and you carried our griefs and sorrows, carried our shame, carried our injustice. Someone here struggling with deep injustice. I just see you, there's like a stronghold. It's not fair, it's not fair, it's not right. You're struggling with a deep injustice. Let it go, bring it to the cross. His heart was broken because of the shame and reproach of people. I see someone here and you've suffered deep shaming, public shaming in the workplace, and it's broken your heart. Someone else, there's two or three people, and you've struggled with shaming in church. It's broken your heart. And God is here to heal that. I just want you to flow with me in a simple prayer, then we'll go back into worshiping, and the ministry team will come and they'll minister to you. Just follow me in this prayer. Jesus, I open my heart to you. I surrender control to you. And I invite you to come to heal my broken heart, to set me free. I choose to repent of trying to control my life. I choose to forgive those who've hurt me. I cancel all judgments I've made. And I lean into you now to embrace your process. Lord, today, with your ability, I pass through this valley and turn it into a well. Thank you, Lord, for setting me free. Amen. Come on, let's flow back into the song. Let's flow back into the song. You're worthy of it all. Holy Spirit, come. I release the healing power of God. We speak right now and take authority over controlling spirits, spirits of witchcraft, spirits of fear, spirits of trauma, spirits of bitterness and hatred, unclean spirits. We command you to go in Jesus' name. We release the power of God. Holy Spirit, come and touch people. Touch, touch, touch. Loose. Loose now in Jesus' name. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Release it now. 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 Tormenting spirits. Let it go. Let it go. Loose. We need our catchers to come up and come to catch people. Thank you, Lord. Come and touch. Touch. Touch, Holy Spirit. Touch. There it is. The power of God is coming on you. Touch it. Touch it. Loose in Jesus' name right now. Release it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Is that to pray for some people here? Holy Spirit, come, Lord, touch you. It's not your fault. It's not your fault. I break that heavy burden you carry, that somehow you're responsible. I release you from it in Jesus' name. Lord, touch your poor little heart right now. Loose in Jesus' name right now. Touch it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, touch it. Touch it. Touch it. Father, I break shame. I break shame. I break fear of you. Loose in Jesus' name right now. Release her. Release her now. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Touch her. Touch her. Touch her. Touch her. Thank you, Lord. Loose in Jesus' name right now. Thank you, Lord. Lord, touch her. Touch her. Loose in Jesus' name right now. Thank you, Lord. Touch her right now. Touch her. Touch her. Touch her. Touch her. Father, I just break right now. I break words spoken over you. I break words that cursed you. I break the words that wounded your heart. Spirits of rejection and loneliness. Loose. Let it go. Let it go. Release it. Release it. Release it right now. Holy Spirit, touch it. Touch it. Touch it. Lord, touch it. I break the rejection in your life right now. Let it touch it. Loose. Touch him tonight. Touch him tonight, Lord. Let him. Thank you, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, touch him. Spirit of grief. Loose him, man. Let him go. Let him go. Spirit of grief. Loose in Jesus' name right now. Release him right now. Thank you, Lord. Touch him. I take authority over grief. I break soul ties to the lost. I command right now the spirit of grief. I command you to release her now in Jesus' name. Loose! Jesus, and release her, release her, release her, release her. Fear. I take authority over fear. Loose her right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Touch her. Thank you, Lord. Lord, touch her. Touch Holy Spirit. It's not your fault. I break the lie. It's my fault. I command the spirits of rejection, spirit of death. Let it go now. Let it go. Loose. Thank you, Lord.
For from you are all things.
Thank you, Lord.
And to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
Thank you.
thank you, Lord. Your presence is here. We thank you, Lord, you're touching people. Thank you, Lord, for your work in our lives right now. Thank you, Lord. Come on, let's give the Lord a clap, shall we? Come on, let's honor him. People have been touched. People have been ministered to. People set free. Lord, we give you the honor. We give you the glory. We thank you, Lord. Amen. Why don't you give someone a hug near to you? Why don't you speak words to bless them? We thank God for every person here. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, touch. Touch. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, come on her right now. Come on her. Father, in Jesus' name, I break the spirit of grief. Grief and loneliness and disappointment. I break your hold over her life right now. Loose now in Jesus' name right now. Stay with her, praying with her, please. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, we probably need to finish just on something to celebrate. Joy. Exactly. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Touch. Touch her, Lord. Touch.
Something coming up my ear. It's like
sticking
up over my
home. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Father, in Jesus' name, I take authority over the spirit of witchcraft. I break all witchcraft assignments against you. In Jesus' name, I come against generational witchcraft.
Let's give him some praise.
Father, we thank you, Lord, for, Lord, just the way you've met us tonight, the way you've met so many. And Lord, even tonight, even if tonight was the beginning of a new journey out of valleys tonight, Lord, I pray for every person who's responded or may even decide I need to respond tomorrow. I need to respond. Just give them grace to respond, Lord, in their hearts to you. Let this be a new journey, a new experience of your grace and your delivering power for every person tonight in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you just as David poured out his complaint to the Lord and began and just poured out that pain. Lord, I thank you for grace and anointing for every person that's still yet to do that or has just begun a journey tonight. Lord, let this journey continue until it's completed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. We thank you in Jesus' name. Well, thank you so much for being here, everybody. We've got tomorrow morning here at Living Waters Christian.